Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
No, I really only hit the record button to try to get him to say how long.
Well, okay, so we can start and talk about it. How about I just get us started? Ryan has his intro.
Oh, that's pre-recorded. Yeah.
Ryan has the intro, so now I'm gonna say, hey guys,
Hi.
Good to have you all here.
Yeah.
Pastor Becky Lee.
Am I the only
Becky
one without
Lee.
A liquid? Sorry, that was ADHD.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you have no drink.
Do you think you have it too?
I know I do.
Yeah, she 100% has it.
I take medication for it.
So real quickly, for those of you listening in the midst of this just random talk, we have Pastor Becky Lee with us. We're so happy to have her to join that podcast and listen to the goofiness that goes on. Yay!
Dude is on top of it.
On mark.
Hi.
So a couple things happened before as we were getting started that we wanted to share with everybody. And one of them was the question about how to use we all have headsets on. And if you have earrings, what do you do? And so Sarah was saying that she switches out of her earrings and Dana said what? That you have cartilage earrings, so
yeah,
just got to suffer through it.
Yeah, my lobes are fine, but my cartilage are the ones that hurt.
And Becky has taken her earrings out because they were bothering her. But she said to me, I don't have to worry about that, right? And I said, once upon a time I was cool at 19 and I had an earring.
Just one?
Just one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like diamond stud?
Was it a diamond?
Like a diamond stud.
Did
like,
you go to Claire's to get it done?
Was it a real diamond?
I did go to Claire's to get it done.
Yeah.
Was it a real diamond?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
At Claire's, no, it's not.
Cubic zirconium set.
Is it like furs? Like fake people wear real fur and real people wear fake fur? Have you ever heard that before?
No.
I don't know. Well, anyway, I wore one for a while, but I was also teaching martial arts at the time. And after a couple of years, I took it out. Because every time I would teach, I'd take it out, and it was twice a week. I forgot to put it in for like a month, and the hole basically healed up completely. And at that point, I was like, well, why am I? I'm not going to put this back in. So,
you know, we could probably still get it back in because I have my ears double pierced.
Yeah.
And I didn't wear the second ones for probably like 6 years. And just the other day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can get an earring back through there. No problem.
Did it make the pop noise?
No.
No.
It hurt a little bit, but it was no issue.
It's been a long time.
Well, so once I did push it back in when, because I'd take it out and I'd leave it out for like a couple of weeks, and I was like, oh, I got to get this in. And I heard a popping noise. But what the question came up, let's get DJ. Would he be willing to re-pierce his ear if we got to a certain number of subscribers? Or was it views?
Well, you know, DJ.
That's what we asked you. What would it take? Does it have to be subscriber or views? What number am I pushing?
1 million. I don't know.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, right. Yes. That's the number that came to my head. If we had 1 million views, yeah.
Okay.
I'd do
we
that.
Don't have views.
No, we do.
Well, or clicks or
can I,
connections.
Like, are we doing
or,
like... Don't compiling all the numbers? Okay, cool.
Oh, we're not doing just this one? I thought it was just this.
I mean on the one episode, but across all platforms,
if we,
I can count.
If we get to 1 million views, I will.
Okay. You know, DJ,
most likely,
this is what I'm thinking of is, you know how like there are all the cool looking pastors out there for like those mega churches and they've got their like Jordans and their like puffy jackets and
you know
stuff.
Do you know what she's inferring?
No, I'm thinking like this is the 2000s version coming back. Like you're gonna have to do the Liberty spikes and the earring now because the 90s are coming back.
The 90s.
So that there
you
go.
And the frosted tips.
Yeah. This is how you get ahead of the trend of being the cool pastor.
I see. So the next staff hire that we need is someone who does makeup and wardrobe.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Just a whole production.
What do you think of that, Pastor
I'm
Becky?
Sure that's exactly what the congregation wants
that
to
none
see.
None of us, especially you, are cool.
I know.
I was not inferring that.
So actually,
I think you guys are very
cool. She was
cool.
Implying it. We inferred it. So.
That
I mean,
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
I used
works.
To work here. I thought
we're
we were cool.
Yeah.
We're good at sharing words.
Mm-hmm.
Cool subjective, right?
Well, I will say it right now. If we get 1 million views,
okay,
it'll happen. I know that. Okay. I'm trying to work through some litigious language here.
No. Like, views, clicks, listens.
So, Dana, now we just have to find the like bots that Rihanna buys
yes.
to get likes on her stuff.
Yes.
No.
What? You never said
you
it had to be
how are you going
to
know?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
In my defense, I think if you added up all of our stuff on YouTube from Atonement, I don't think we're anywhere near a million anything. So
yes, we are. Okay. Over the last 4 years?
Yes. Are we close?
5 years.
If you total
up, years, yeah, 2020.
It started in 2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So from 2020 to now,
you don't think there's been a million?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh. I bet you we'd be a million. I bet you we'd be close to half.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me 5 more years to contemplate what I got myself into.
I think you underestimate the power of middle schoolers and high schoolers.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. Yeah.
I mean, just look at VBS and how very excited they were to Pi.
That is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. And our high school youth director and adult young adult director, Gage, has laid out a challenge that if the middle school and high schoolers raise so much money for FMSC, he'll shave his head.
Man.
Oh.
This is also
heard it here first.
This is also a really funny like pull in of during FMSC, Dana and I were talking about it's funny to me, like I now know when like the kids who I think of as little kids from Atonement mm-hmm. are now like high schoolers. Cause I was like, what do you mean? I'm getting likes from this. College. Like this kid is still a fourth grader in my brain. Why is she liking this stuff on the Feed My Starving Children Instagram?
Why are they online?
Yeah.
They're, you know.
Yeah. And then I also then turn into the old lady of, I'm like, okay, you should be in school right now. Right, if I get one more notification, I'm going to contact your mother.
I'm calling the
Sarah. Sarah was having a hard time with that one.
Yeah. Real tough for my brain to comprehend.
Because I was going back through old photos and found them and was sending them to her of like, look at them, they're little babies. She's like, yeah, that's when I knew them.
Yeah, that's when I took that picture.
Once I baptized, they're getting married.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But it's cool, Becky, because you probably get to baptize. You probably baptized them and you get to marry them.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm. I did one last weekend. I didn't baptize her, but she was a little girl when I came mm-hmm. here.
Well, and I've told you this privately, but I love watching it when you officiate at a baptism because you're a master. Like, and what I mean by that is there's certain things that we all do. I think everyone's a master of some things, but you're so skilled at something that you can go off script, and it still is exactly what it's supposed to be.
I went off script too much on the last one, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? No one would have noticed, and it was all relevant to what you were doing. So,
yeah, but I mean, I cracked a few jokes.
Well, of course you did. That's how you roll. It works out just fine.
I did that at the wedding too.
Well, and
I did the last weekend.
For me, I can't go off script for baptisms. Like I just haven't like internalized that enough. So I love watching you do it because it's like that's how it's done.
Well, you're a baptism, you know.
I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face.
Baptism perfectionist.
Yes. Well, yes. I guess there's a bit of that too.
This weekend for my wedding, I said. It was at a venue, so it wasn't at church. So I didn't have anything to do with the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't seen any of the groomsmen or the bridesmaids. They had all rehearsed before I got there earlier mm-hmm. in the day. And so they're all lined up beside me. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, does someone have the rings? And the best man thinks he's very funny and starts checking all his pockets. And I went... You've got them. Just hand them over. You think this is my first time around?
Right.
Not.
Right.
And then, you know, they're all laughing at him, and he felt kind of sheepish. I shouldn't have said it.
Yeah. He called him out right there. Right.
I have seen one, though, that he thought he had them, and he really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had the worst one was that I actually got angry at afterwards. He had them in a Cracker Jack box.
Oh.
And we had to wait in a church until... He had found them in the Cracker Jack.
And they're
and then they're sticky.
Yeah.
I've also had a dog lose them.
Yeah.
What?
Their dog was their ring bearer, and we were in a state park, and the dog took off after a squirrel. And then the dog came back, and only her ring was there, and his ring was gone.
At least the expensive one was probably still there.
I was like, we actually had to get a scissors to cut hers off because she had tied it so tight that we actually couldn't, and so it was like
or are you taking pictures? Or
no, that was one that Sierra officiated, that I was just there.
Only bad one I ever saw was it rained beforehand and the groomsmen were drying off all the chairs and we had told the best man who was the little brother, just take the ring out of your pocket and one of us girls will hold on to it. He's like, I'm fine. I got it.
He didn't have it.
drawing off the chairs, it fell out of his pocket. And then it was truly like Oprah style of, please look under your chair. You have the wedding ring. Yeah. And some like 6-year-old little girl found it, thankfully.
I've only had 2 doggy ring bears. 3.
You have?
3.
And did they have the rings on them, or did they just process in?
And one was in the woods by a lake.
Wow. Yeah. I won't do it.
On leashes, no dogs. They're on leashes.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was the one I did for a couple from here last spring. And it was inside.
Dogs got to be inside.
It was a blind French poodle. No, not poodle. French bulldog.
So it was blind?
Get very far. It's a real cute dog. It was blind.
Oh, man. Well, you're braver than me. I don't, like, I'm okay with dogs being in the service, and I'm okay with kids, like, you know, the ring bearer, the flower. But the rings go...
Symbolic jobs only for DJ.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like that old saying on TV. It's always, you never know what you're going to get when you're working with
animals,
dogs,
and kids, and animals
and kids.
Fair.
And, that's nuts.
Art Linkletter.
Art Linkletter.
You guys don't know him.
Nope.
He was on a daily show, and he'd always have little kids on and interview them. And this was live. This is before video. And the section of the show is called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And sometimes they would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And his name was Art Linkletter. He was very good at kids.
So you guys are kind of at that stage or have been where there's a lot of weddings going on in your life and
Sarah more than me.
Yeah. So what
there's
is it?
Dying are you actually at an age where it's kind of dying down?
Mm-hmm. I was like, all of your people have gotten married, right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
How old are you, Sarah?
I'll be 30 this year.
Yep. I was 29 when my last good friend got married. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I fell in a heap the day before. I'm the only one that's left.
Oh. I've had that moment.
Yeah. But you know what?
It's fine.
You're smiling. We're good.
So and what?
You're only 30.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like to ask this question and get everyone to answer it. What makes, like, what's some of the good stuff that you've seen in weddings, and what stuff that you're like, I don't really care for that. Can you think of one thing you really like and one thing you're like, I'm not a fan of that?
Because I've married a lot of people from here, I probably wouldn't say in case someone's listening.
I wouldn't say any names.
I wouldn't even say if it's something really unique.
Yeah.
Then I probably wouldn't say it because it might be someone listening and I wouldn't want to hurt any feelings.
Yeah. Well, I've been a part of really big weddings where there's a lot of pomp and circumstance and there's a lot of moving pieces. And I will say that they're beautiful. They're great. The wedding, the reception, all that stuff. You know, it's an event for sure. But the weddings that I think I really enjoyed being a part of were really simple. Like I remember we had a reception after a wedding in the town's American Legion, and it wasn't like a lot of money spent on catering. It was. The church ended up doing a potluck, like the people, the community. I mean, it was a small enough community that the community was all there. So the entire community was celebrating this wedding, and it was a lot of fun, and it was fun to be a part of it. And it wasn't like the marriage of like the royal family of England. If you've ever seen those where it's, everything has to be done just right. But they were there. It was simple. There wasn't a lot of moving pieces. I think there was just like one or two bridesmaids and groomsmen. And everyone had a ball and they had a blast. And when it was done, the wedding was fun. And then the reception was fun. The party afterwards.
That's
fun.
I think for me, the best weddings are the ones where kind of everybody there and involved know that weddings are a celebration. You're there to have fun. And it's kind of, 2 families becoming one. Mm-hmm. And those times where, you know, like when you get out on the dance floor and everybody's dancing together and having a good time and, you know, you've got somebody dancing over there and including everybody and there's no like little clicky circles or anything like that. It's just everybody is there together and to be together and celebrate and have a good time. Like that's the best for me.
I'm usually leaving before the wedding dance because I have to do church in the morning.
Usually that's how it goes.
Becky, we got to get you on some caffeine kicks or something so you can be there for
caffeine.
Oh, man.
My little heart goes tickety tick, 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 tick,
No, I was going
to
say.
We got to get you so that way you don't have to do church the next morning. So you can have a couple wedding dances.
Yeah.
Friday.
There you go.
Yeah. No, the worst weddings are the ones where it's too much ego.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or the people who, like, yes, or the people who take it just, like, not way that, like, seriously isn't the right word, but, you know, but.
The worst.
The things that, like, you are probably going to fall apart over, nobody's going to realize or remember that you were supposed to have off-white shoes and your shoes are ivory or
yes,
because those little things that didn't quite work out.
Because it's like, it to you, you're like, you notice it, but it's like, unless you say something,
nobody's
like, I've worked enough weddings as a coordinator that I'm just like, especially when it's like somebody's mom, I'm like, you need to just go sit down. The wedding's happening. Like, what are we doing? But it's like, well, this didn't happen. Okay, well, guess what? You and like the other like 10 people in the wedding are the only ones that know that it didn't happen.
I just say, just stop right now. What is our intent at the end of the day?
Yeah.
That two people will be husband and wife. Everything else.
I was like, as long as we do the thing and then we sign the paper. Like,
that's my favorite thing to.
That's what we need.
But usually, that's my usual go-to to sign in like bridal shower cards. Is just relax. All you need to do is say the right words and sign the right line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the only thing that matters.
Easier said than done.
Sometimes we forget to sign and we leave.
Yes. I've done that. I've.
Well, that's why I always had Sierra sign hers for, like, it came to the wedding already signed by her.
I failed to sign a marriage certificate for a wedding. I was doing it in a different state.
Oh, good.
And then I flew back.
Oh.
And the couple was like, hey, we just FedExed overnight to you the marriage license.
Because DJ, you would have been, like, you would be my number one enemy. I'm usually the like person in the wedding party or whoever where it's like, we need somebody who's type A who could hunt down. Like at my cousin's wedding, the maid of honor and the
best man
were notorious just like wanderers and chatters. Like, we just need them to sign this after the fact. Yeah. I'm like, give it to me, I'll go find them.
Oh, I've had
and
it
I
where
would, I follow them. He's like, I just need to find a pen. I'm like, I have a pen in my hand right here. I need you to take 2 seconds.
I normally do it as soon as I have it with me.
Yep.
Yeah.
As soon as we walk out of the sanctuary or wherever we are, we all do it.
Yeah,
but
that's
this
good.
This one, they had gotten it not here.
Oh.
And they had it on them. Tried to give it to me before the service, and I said,
nope.
I don't have anywhere to put it right now.
Yeah.
So we'll just do it after and then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I've had one where everybody like scattered. It was so we were like signing it, and they just pulled two people to sign it because that's all you need is the two people. Mm-hmm. And the maid of honor lost her mind, and she was like, "You were gone, and I wanted this signed. Like, I couldn't find you." Like the bride was like, "Too bad." It's like, it doesn't matter. She's like, "But normally, I'm the maid of honor," and she's like, "I was like, actually, legally, it doesn't matter who signed it."
Well, since I was with a family in a different state and missed signing the whole thing from that point on, and this is going back over a decade, I made it a rule that every wedding that I do, it's either getting signed before the service starts, or I'll sign it during the service. We'll do it in the place where you have like a lot of people will do like a lighting of the unity candle or mixing of the unity sand or tying of the unity band or
what is the watering strangest of one the, of those that you've seen?
Watering of the trees.
I do like watering of the bonsai tree. I think that one's kind of cool.
I did one where they, last summer, where they had the tree and they had dirt from his family home farm and dirt from her family home farm and they put the two dirts together.
That's cool.
Cute.
That was kind of cool. And my other couple last summer that was really cool, they actually go to church here, so they may listen. I don't know. But she had written this beautiful thing about their life and together and how the different colors match parts of their relationship up to this point. And she had a canvas, and they poured paint from the canvas.
My That's sister cool. and brother-in-law
flooded,
did that.
And it flooded down and made a beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's I can't cool. say I can't say there was any bad ones. I will say one was a lighting of a unity candle outside. Oh. And every time they lit it, it would blow out. It's like, yeah, it's not going to stay lit. They're not getting this thing lit.
My all-time favorite one is, it was actually done by my friend Jill and Tyler, who I used to live with. And they her older sister is a big like wino, and they had her pick out red wine that will age perfectly in like five years.
Tell me this again. I want to listen closer to what you just said.
A wino.
A wino?
Yeah, like you drink a lot of wine. She's like a wine aficionado.
What that means.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It's like a term of endearment.
No, it's not, Sarah.
Uniophile. O-N-O-E-N-I-O-P-H-I-L-E.
Back in the day, a wino was someone who was like a bum on the street. Oh. They'd call them winos.
Oh, we call Maria wino all the time. She's like, yeah, I'm a wino.
No, literally, like, it's just somebody that like you would see like on like an alley with a wine bottle.
Yeah. Just. It's an old term.
Well,
old
she's
term.
A wine aficionado.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Google, what's a wine aficionado?
Anyway, so they built a wine box and then got this red wine that'll age perfectly in 5 years. They had pre-written basically letters to each other in 5 years, packed it all up then for their unity ceremony, and then closed it. They'll open it in 5 years, read the letters to each other, drink the wine, do it again in 5 years, put it back together. Oh, so it's like kind of a ongoing thing.
And the wine will age nicely too.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay, it's an onophile. O-E-N-O-P-H-I-L-E.
Onophile. That sounds worse to me.
I mean, yeah.
I'll start calling her an onophile rather than a wino so people don't think I'm calling her a bum on the street.
I like this. I like you like redeeming the term wino. Yeah. Bring it back. Make it something positive rather than something negative. There we go.
Just I'll ask the person before I call them a wino.
Yeah, like, Would you rather be a wino or an onophile? Yeah.
Onophile. Yeah, that's okay. It'd be like being a sommelier.
Yeah. That's kind of, she's like a at-home sommelier type.
Doesn't anyone say connoisseur anymore?
That's a word.
I'm a wine connoisseur.
You can say that. That's anywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like, instead of a foodie, would it be a whiny?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I've known people who are like that. Whiny.
They're whiny?
I know a few people who are whiny.
Yeah.
That's almost worse, DJ.
Well,
what are we talking about?
Weddings.
Yeah, we were talking about weddings.
I'll tell you my worst because it's so long ago. Some of them aren't living anymore. It wasn't here.
Okay.
Oh, can I tell it?
Yes.
We can take it off.
Yeah.
Recording.
Sure.
Oh well, be careful.
We were ready to go down the aisle, and the groom was at a bar.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I was wondering about that. Like, have you ever had to stop it and be like, look, someone's behavior is too unpredictable and offensive? Like a relative or a long-lost love who it's their last chance to say.
Wait, have you guys ever had people object to weddings?
I've never had that.
I did one wedding, though, where they had two little boys, and the one little boy kept crawling in and out of the pulpit and around the altar, and I just stopped it. I said, no one's listening to what we're saying. Let's get this little guy settled with grandma and grandpa, and then let's move on.
Well, and I don't know about you, Becky, but I don't recall ever in any wedding rite saying, if anyone objects to this union, let them speak now or forever hold their peace. I don't think it's in any of them.
No, I would never say it.
I don't know where that's from. Like, that's a movie thing.
The father tried to stop that wedding I just talked about.
Yeah.
He said, let's not do it. Let's not.
But there's not a place in the service where we're like, all right, you're all here, you're all dressed up. Yep. Let's just give a big pause. And
just
see.
In case. Everybody cool just with this like, happening?
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I think that's more of a movie thing than an actual church.
It did happen back in the good old days when you couldn't check on someone's background. Mm,
Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Pre-Google.
So in the service, you have a point where the couple shares promises, and some people like to write their vows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But one of the coolest one I had was a couple that in the 2000s read through the order of service in the old red hymnal, and they liked the language of troth.
Oh, and so, therefore I pledge you my troth.
I pledge you my troth, or however it's pronounced. And I worked it into the message about what it actually was and what a cool word this is. That it's too bad we've lost it. Because it's like, you guys think of like my truth, like who you totally are. You're pledging my troth, my all of me. And that's the term betrothed or betrothed. That's what it means.
Nice.
So that was cool to hear that in the wedding vows. Yeah. Do you let people write their own vows or are you like?
I use them both.
Okay.
So I like the standard old fashioned. Mm-hmm. better, worse, richer, poorer, sickness, health.
Yeah.
And people usually like that. And I have a part now where they actually say, I do.
There's yes.
No, I do in the Lutheran hymnals.
Yes.
And so I found stuff that says, I do. So they do that. Your intentions, they do that first.
Yep.
Do you like to say, I do? I would. People really want to say that.
Well, you are right in line because the older Lutheran hymnals do have that. Mm-hmm. They'll say, is it your intention? I do, I do. And then you go into the...
Yep. Then yeah. Then you go into the vows. So I like that.
Yep.
And I had one that was so fun. Someone from this church, and I could say, it was Craig Suffolk's oldest son.
Okay.
He and his bride... it's okay, Chad. Can I say it? Yes. He and his bride just had the most fun vows. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Just ordinary, how I'm going to put up with you because you do this. You know, mm-hmm. But both of them had it, and it was beautiful.
Well, and now, if I remember.
Now I'll always forgive you.
Is this the son who's now a pastor
yep.
in Pennsylvania?
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.